This is Meet the Millennials.
Hi guys, you're here with Cassie Loco.
Carl Loco.
Hi, I'm Rini Lee.
Hey, I'm Pastor Nathan from Hope Dealers.
And it's Pastor Kwame here from Hope Dealers as well.
Hi, I'm Ify Alexis Lee.
Hi, I'm Muyua.
And I'm Lola.
And you're listening to Meet the Millennials, the voice of the Christian Millennials.
Because it's honest conversations about things that the body of Christ is perhaps too scared to talk about.
And you young people don't know what you're doing with your life.
Welcome to Meet the Millennials. We are back. More guests, more fun, more learning. And we want you guys to engage with us more this season. So we've actually made an email address. And our email address is, Esther?
mtmpodcast@premier.org.uk.
100%. So drop us an email. Let us know what you think of the episodes, topics you'd like us to discuss, or just say hello. So follow us on Instagram, Twitter. We're at Premier Gospel. Use the hashtag mtmpodcast to interact with us. And let's continue to build the community. So as you know, this podcast is the podcast that discusses our millennial matters from a Christian perspective. With me, Elena Boateng.
Me, Esther OG.
Special guest presenter,
Faith Child. Got to say it.
And our guest today is the beauty that is Ify Alexis Lee.
Hi.
Jeez.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
So we have the pleasure of talking to you about waiting until marriage to have sex
today. Wow.
And expressing sexuality.
Wow.
Which is a juicy one, so we'll get into that in a moment. But first, what's been going on, guys?
I put flexor rods in my hair.
And it looks cute, babe.
Thanks.
Very nice.
It's
Thank
popping.
You. Thank
it's
you
popping.
Very much. Yeah.
Faith.
Sorry, if you actually follow the podcast properly on the Instagram, you'll mm-hmm. see that Esther has a different hairstyle
every
episode. every episode. And I like today's one. Not like I didn't like the other ones, but I like today's one. But yeah, life has been interesting. I put on weight.
Yeah. I'm bulking.
Unintentionally put on weight.
Okay.
Yeah. But I had a very healthy meal last night. Do you want to know what I had?
I would love to know.
Asparagus
mm-hmm.
with spinach with cherry tomatoes, boiled eggs and prawns.
Where was the...
And avocado.
Any carbs?
No.
Oh, so what we're doing, no carbs now?
I have the daily bread as my carb. So,
I mean, did you saute the vegetables?
Of course! I didn't just do like what Jamie Oliver.
You can't just be saying anything.
Nah,
how did you make the prawns?
With oil
mm-hmm.
and then like basil stuff.
Basil stuff.
And thing. You weren't there.
Try some garlic and pasta.
No, there was. There was
food into a sex pot.
There was seasoning inside there.
Okay, as long as it tastes good.
The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, so it ties into the podcast.
I agree,
okay, hallelujah. Each week, because Faith might tell us his whole like meal prep for the rest of the week. Each week, we host our friends and influencers in the Premier Gospel Studio to talk about life, faith, trends. We're just navigating life together. So today we're talking about celibacy, but as a disclaimer, so obviously the definition of celibacy by Oxford standards is abstaining from marriage and sex.
Wow.
But these days it feels like everybody uses it mostly as abstaining from sex. And especially as Christians, it's kind of like abstaining from sex until marriage, as that's always our kind of...
Line point.
Exactly. So we're talking about that, but we're also talking about how we express our sexuality as single Christians. So we'll get into more detail about that shortly. But first, I want to introduce Ify properly. So Ify, you are a mentor, you're a leader, you're a teacher of the Word of God, you're the founder of the ministry Love Limitless.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
So Love Limitless is for women, and it's there to equip young women to have the tools that they need to thrive in life. We focus mostly on like the spiritual aspects of things. So having women that know their worth, their value, their standard, women that know how to pray and read the word, women who are set apart for God's purposes. And I find that once you tackle the spiritual aspects, you know, it trickles onto your social life, your education, and everything else.
Amazing. Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you.
You're newly-ish married, right? Got married this year?
Yeah, like 8 months ago. So, I'm a newlywed.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing you guys were, like, you waited.
Yes.
Okay, amazing. So we know that we're all on the same page because I personally am not active. Esther?
I'm not active.
And I call Faith literally the male virgin poster boy.
Mel's
so you've done BBC Minute
forever.
This year. You've done a video with Brini Lee.
Yeah.
You've done a video with ZZ Mills.
Yeah.
So literally, you are the poster boy for male virginity?
Yeah, I guess so.
You don't want to be that
whole
forever,
two
though.
Videos.
Nah, not,
three, actually.
I don't want to be a virgin forever.
No, and it won't be your portion.
Do you know how vexed I'll be if Rapture comes on my wedding night?
Yeah, I felt
God,
like that
God
too.
Is so much more glorious.
He is such a good God.
She says that as a married woman, though. Do you know what I mean?
I want to make a comparison, innit? Between earthly glory and heavenly glory. I don't just want to experience
Amen.
One.
Wow.
So our heart for this episode, it was kind of your idea, Esther, wasn't it? Like, yeah. We were talking about doing a sex
bless.
Episode for the season and talking about celibacy and stuff. And Esther was kind of like, well, why don't we talk about this idea of expressing your sexuality? And at first I was like, what is she talking about? But actually, when I started doing some reading around it, it's actually really like it's a very important conversation. Mm. Because as human beings, we obviously have our different dimensions. So we're intellectual, we're emotional, we're relational, we're spiritual, but we're also sexual beings.
Yeah.
But like in our relationships, it's so easy to kind of express who you are as a spiritual person, who you are as an emotional person or whatever else. But as Christians, especially as single Christians, it's a lot more complex when you're trying to express your sexual being to somebody, because often we're told, you know, don't guard your heart, wait till you're married, sex is like good but not for you, blah blah blah, that kind of stuff. Do you get what I mean? So it's kind of like you do start to like get this whole thing of like, am I supposed to like magically become this sexual person once I'm actually married, and is like the sexual part of me just supposed to be dormant until that day kind of thing? Do you guys feel that that's true, and what have your experiences of that been?
I think for me, like, I think even just hearing the idea that we're sexual beings, like, I'm not 100% sure about that. I feel like sexuality is something I have. I feel like I'm a spiritual being because I believe that we are spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. But being a sexual being, I guess we probably need to just like further define it. Maybe mm-hmm. that will help.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a definition actually.
Okay.
So sexuality is the total of who you are, what you believe, what you feel, and how you respond. The way in which you have been acculturated, socialized, and sexualized. The sum of all your relationships and intimate encounters expressed in the way you speak, smile, stand, sit, dress, dance, laugh, cry, etc. Sexuality is all of this, including the way religion, morals, friends, age, body concepts, life goals, self-esteem shape your sexual self. Now, this is the best bit of the definition, I think. It says, understanding sexuality and not just sex fosters and encourages the development of good relationships throughout your life.
That was
that
a mouthful. When I heard that
there,
earlier on, I was thinking, I'll try to get my head around it, similar mm-hmm. to yourself, thinking, mm-hmm. how on earth, because we've just been accustomed to sexuality meaning sex,
mm-hmm.
you know? So to think the way you laugh and cry, like, I can't cry sexy, innit? It's like trying to think the way that
I can.
Trying to... I'm like, Olumi, dear, please stop. Oh, you're hurting me. So it's like trying to get your head around that concept is quite an interesting one. But your initial question in regards to, like, you know, you have to turn off your sexual part of you until you're married, and now you must be like...
Mm-hmm. Beyonce.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because she's clearly your
We'll get to that.
I've never seen this kind of definition before. I think typically I see either your sexual orientation or like your appetite for sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I do think there is something like fully holistic about it, because obviously I've taken time to research the topic.
Who did you read? Tell us about it. Wow.
So
what books are you reading?
I've been reading quite a few things, but there is this lady called Julie Slattery,
okay.
and she is a Christian psychologist, a clinical psychologist, and she writes a lot about these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And she writes about it in kind of like the body of intimacy. So there is actually something that she wrote that I think pretty much will kind of help us to kind of move the conversation forward. So she basically says, like, we tend to only talk about the physical act of sex, so we ignore the fact that it's our sexuality that ultimately drives us into relationship, makes us desire marriage, expresses our longing to be known, heard, understood, and protected, our longing to be vulnerable soul to soul with another person, and ultimately our longing to be known by God. As a single person, your sexuality serves a purpose.
Mm.
If sexuality isn't just sex, how do we express that side of ourselves in a way that is like, should I say pleasing to God? In a way, yeah, to some extent, that is pleasing to God.
So I've kind of lived my life with the same view, mm-hmm. you know, sexuality being, you know, your appetite for it and your sexual orientation. So in the staring through that vein, mm-hmm. you know, probably you're using love languages. So whatever your partner's love language is, mm. you expressing love and affection towards them. So it might be buying your partner flowers often or getting them their favorite chocolate or whatever their love language might be. That might be a form of you expressing your love and care.
Mm-hmm.
I think ultimately, I guess sex or sexuality also then comes to like affection, love and care,
yeah.
kind of derives from that.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing love and care from another angle and trying to tie it to your definition, that might be...
It's now become Elena's definition.
Your stance from...
She has stuff she's recited from.
Yeah, so from...
Didn't just make it up.
From your research, then I think that might be my closest definition or answer to your question.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, I just came up with this question because I'm navigating it and I want to know how do you navigate this and this whole whole sexual identity and sexual expression as a Christian, because I still haven't figured it out. That's why I thought, okay, let me do it on this show so everybody else can tell me.
So
I'm asking for a friend, exactly.
And I am
so I'm like, let's figure this out, because I very much, like you said before, I very much feel like, although church has tried to always say, you know, yeah, sex is a good thing, but it's always, I've very much internalized this whole sensation of it's wrong, you're only supposed to do it for marriage, it's only for marriage, and then just kind of felt like, okay, well, when you get married, you know, we've got you covered, but until then, bye, see you later, have a yeah. latte. Like, I just always felt like sort of abandoned in that way. Mm. So I'm still asking, I keep using Beyonce as an example, because in my head, when I think of the expression of sexuality in such a clearly defined way by our society, it's that, it's sort of how you express yourself in like the dance moves and being very alluring and sexy and mysterious in that way. That's always been my definition. And when I've looked to Christian pictures of what that's supposed to look like, I'm like, I don't know where to necessarily look. Mm-hmm. Even when I read Songs of Solomon, it's like, yeah, that's great, but she was with her husband. So what do I do with that?
Pass it, Effie.
Mm. Wow, okay. I completely understand the need for intimacy. I think it's, as you mentioned, there is a desire within every single person to be fully known and fully loved, mm-hmm. to be naked and not ashamed, to have that oneness, that witness. And I think that we see that all the way in Genesis when God says to Adam, actually, it's not good for man to be alone. And I don't think that that verse is purely in the context of marriage. So I think that's where we definitely agree. I think that it represents the bond that humanity is called to have. The fact that we're called to be a body of Christ and not individual, like God actually wants us to be one. And even more than that, you know, in John 17, Jesus prays, let them be one as you and I are one. So there's a oneness that God is calling for us to have, and that's intimacy, that's the ability to share and to bear one another's burdens. So I think that there's a lot in scripture that points to what it is that we're talking about, mm-hmm. that can be found in godly community, that can be found in family, that can be found in friends.
Mm-hmm.
God desires for us to have meaningful relationships that ultimately make us look more like him, and he desires us to have relationship with himself. So he does put within us a need and a lack that we're called to fill within one another. Mm-hmm. So I agree.
No, I'm with you. So when you were dating your now husband,
mm-hmm.
do you feel like you were able to express your sexuality to him in any way, through words, through conversation, through... How would you say you navigated that part of your relationship?
It was tricky. It was tricky because boundaries are such a key thing to have, and something that I, you know, we're both quite principled, and we both knew that there's certain things we didn't want to do until we were married. But at the same time, you want to show affection to your partner. You want to show them that actually, like, I really like you. Actually, what you did makes me feel really loved. And so it was hard. It was hard navigating it. But one thing I found was using my words, using my words to uplift him, using my words to let him know, I really appreciate you. I really appreciated when you did this, that, and the other. And I'm a words of affirmation person, so I can kind of start from the start of everything that you did to make me feel loved. And mm-hmm. I would kind of see the effect it would have on him. And that was a way in which I was able to affirm his position in my life mm-hmm. without necessarily like stepping over some of our boundaries.
Yeah, I hear you. But then when we kind of like try and tackle this area of thinking that one day you are just going to become this really sexual being and then be able to actually like participate in the act of sex and not be like, ew, get off me. Like, do you feel like you guys were also able to talk about like what you think you might like sexually and so forth, and how you would want to navigate things in the bedroom and all of those kinds of things.
Prior to getting into the relationship, I always thought it would be awkward. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, okay, so we're going to have to eventually talk about do's and do nots, talk about what we like and stuff like that. And it always seemed so awkward until I was in the relationship, and closer towards like the time we were getting married, we had, you know, a few conversations. He was very kind of careful to kind of limit what we shared and what we didn't share, but enough to say, okay, what's completely out of the window for you? And I think that that kind of, you know, that kind of opens up the conversation without always saying that I like this and we must do this and we must try that. But I guess we started with what is a complete no-no? Mm-hmm. And that kind of opened up conversation as to, okay, so why is that? And that was a more pure way to do it, but it was closer to the time of the marriage, because naturally when you're speaking about those kinds of things, you're having thoughts about those kind of things. I would personally advise to not do it in person. But you can obviously, you can have it in person as well.
First of all, I think that was a healthy way that it was handled. I know of a woman where she was forever told sex is wrong, is dirty, etc. And then obviously pre-marriage. So now she's in marriage, just having sex, and she's like breaking down, like, I can't do this, it's so dirty, whatever. Right. So I think that's probably the flip side now of abstaining from everything. I'm not saying exploring before might have helped her, you know, but I think because we're forever told don't do it, it's dirty, whatever, as opposed to what you said, Elena, about why you should abstain. Everything in this world is a product of sex, because someone had to be born to then think and have the idea to create a microphone. Yeah.
Only you think
how
that.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. How about that?
Everything is sexual.
Yes. Everything.
That's a what product. The definition said anyway.
Everything's a product of sex, and now I understand that definition now. But I think it's interesting because like, no one is a sex expert from their first experience.
I agree.
it's about letting yourself be a student. And I guess have a conversation with your partner. What do you like? What don't you like? Yeah. If they have, because if you haven't had sex, you might not know what works for you.
Yeah.
You know, but being able to go through it with your partner will be great. So I think that's one thing to also note, that even if you're a novice, you have no clue about anything, everyone was once a beginner.
I think one of the major conversations we did have, outside of the do's and do nots and all of that stuff, there was like, what is your actual ethos? What's your view on sex? Mm-hmm. What does sex mean to you? How do you understand sex? What does sex look like? What does it mean in a marriage? So just to kind of have an understanding of what sex means to him, what sex means to me, what do we understand from the scripture about sex? And I think that that was helpful to do before marriage, because we're able to just kind of make sure we're in one accord about our understanding and our view of sex. And there should be guided practice as to the importance of sex in marriage, what sex does for the intimacy of marriage, what sex does in conflict, what sex, like, there's so many ways to discuss sex and why God created it as a way to consummate a marriage and not anything else.
But no, just kind of pulling it back for 2 seconds, just because I really want to help somebody who, for example, maybe marriage isn't in their future. So we're talking a lot about like people who are one day going to be able to express this side of them in a physical way. But if marriage isn't in your future, how do we then kind of
can you clarify that? When you say marriage isn't in your future, as in somebody desires to get married but for whatever reason they just don't end up getting married, or somebody who's got the gift of singleness? Which one are you talking about?
Gift of singleness.
What is that? Isn't that what Paul talks
2018
about?
Christianity. There's a new gift of the spirit.
Let's say you are, like, we all have to be honest with the fact that we all desire marriage, but marriage might not be in everybody's future. So my question is kind of like, how can you express your sexuality in a way that's honouring to God and that validates your longing for intimacy? Because you're still going to need to fulfil the intimacy part that you want in yourself, even though you might not be able to do that through sex. If we're thinking holistically about sexuality, do you get what I mean?
But then you can have intimate friendships and that they don't have a sexual component, because that would be weird.
Yeah.
But like, but so I think it's, if we're talking about intimacy, it's, what does intimacy mean? What does that actually look like? It's just being close to somebody. It's sharing life with somebody. It's talking and being vulnerable and raw with somebody. And that doesn't, if we're saying that intimacy doesn't have to equal sex, then it is therefore possible to have intimate relationships with people that don't necessarily have a sexual component.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm. If you're taking away the, as you said, the sexual part, and I guess the arousal part, etc., then perfectly well. A best friend can fulfill that. Mm-hmm. And I guess you expressing it is by you being the hands and feet of Jesus, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, loving your neighbor like you love yourself.
Yeah.
all those kind of things would be how you would express that. If sexuality includes love, care, kindness, then literally loving your neighbour, helping a lady with her shopping, carrying a bag up an escalator, giving a seat, is you expressing sexuality.
I think as well, taking it literally when it says, when God says, like, you know, I'm your exceeding great reward, and it can sound a bit cliche, but if you have a desire, God is also saying that actually I'm sufficient for those desires, particularly if you're not called to marriage, if God doesn't have marriage in his will for you. I think it's being able to rest in, well, God sees what I believe I need. And if he's not giving it to me, then that's because he has it within himself to satisfy me. And that's not just in the area of like sexual intimacy or anything like that. That's in a lot of areas where we have desires and we have wants and we have things that we think are integral to our being. And we might not have them physically or tangibly. And God is saying, well, it's because I'm enough as well.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I was also add on the back of that, though, you can, even if you're married, you can still sort of have desires because you're always going to find somebody else still attractive. Mm-hmm. So you're always having to exert that level of self-control anyway and realise, yes, I might desire that, but I better not act on it before I ruin my marriage.
Can we talk about that, please?
So yeah. I think that's the important part. Just because you get married doesn't mean that nobody else is attracted
out the
to
window.
You.
Go on.
I was speaking to someone and she was like, oh, but you don't understand, Iffy. Like, you're so free. You get to... I was like, girl.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of self-control that's also required in marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you think that you just have sex all the time, that's all you do from morning to night, like, that's not true. And there can be situations, circumstances, time of the month, different things that you could go through that means that you're not having sex. Mm-hmm. So self-control is a component of the Christian life regardless. Yeah, mm-hmm. you're always gonna have to exercise that. And then yes, when it comes to other people, your spouse is not the only attractive person in the world. And so, yeah, there'll be times where you have to exercise self-control to say, actually, no, I'm not going to engage in further conversation with this person because it could lead to a slippery road and I don't want to go down there. So you need self-control always.
Yeah. So in 2018, is it possible to wait until marriage to have sex?
The easy answer is yes.
Well, clearly you did.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
Yes, it is. It is. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's definitely possible. And I think I definitely stand as an example of that. I was a virgin when I got married. So it's possible, it can happen. And I think that even that is something people need to hear because it seems impossible. And even, you know, I remember entering to university and I received a lot of advice that, oh, girl, you think you're a virgin now. You think you're going to save yourself, but that's not going to be the case. And I heard a lot of stuff like that, but it is possible and you can do it only by the grace of God and a lot of willpower.
Mm-hmm. What boundaries did yourself and your husband put in place to be able to do that?
So I think it first started with the boundaries that I had in place personally, with just male interaction in general. So I had physical boundaries just in terms of, I knew that, okay, no sex before marriage. I also didn't want to participate in kissing before marriage as well. So that was something that was personal to me. With a guy that I wasn't dating, I'm not like... tight hugs. I'm very comfortable with a church hug, and I know that because
a side one, yeah.
Yeah, a side one or like, anyways,
don't touch me, basically.
Like, I'm quite comfortable with that because I am a hugger. I love physical touch, and I just wanted that area of my life to be something that was a bit sacred. So I would, yeah. So those kind of things were stuff that I already had in place in terms of the amount of time I would give to guys as well. Increasingly had that in place. I just love boundaries. I do. They're hard sometimes, but I do. And I think David, my husband, is the only person that really made me like feel like, wow, I really want to push these boundaries. You know, I'm like, oh gosh, it's 10 o'clock, but I'm not going home. Like that was literally it. So in our now courtship, so we had boundaries in terms of, so no sex, no kissing, certain kinds of touch, like not sitting on his lap and stuff like that. He had his own place, so not staying there late, not being there late, whatever. Boundaries also in terms of like pet names or in terms of just making sure that there's a clear sense of you're single until you're married, mm-hmm. and without both of us getting carried away and thinking that, well, you know, we set a date or, you know, well, we're engaged or however these thoughts were coming to our minds, to actually just say that no, we're not there yet.
So was he allowed to like call you sexy?
Did he ever? He didn't. He didn't.
I think the pet name one is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Not being
yeah.
able to. If there's no pet name, I doubt you're being called. You're going to call your girlfriend sexy.
I didn't say you can't have. I didn't say we didn't have any pet names.
Oh.
But there were like boundaries to
okay.
them.
So, oh, okay,
so
I
sexy
see.
Would definitely fall on the niggas. But he had other ways in which like he would like address me to let me know it's a term of endearment,
okay.
and that was purely because of stuff like words of affirmation,
yeah.
And wanting to show enough to say that I'm interesting, but not enough to say like. Come here right now, like this is about to go down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I hear you. What stuff would you say you have in place, Faith?
Definitely like no sex before marriage.
No.
What? Other boundaries. Other boundaries.
We know that one.
physical touch would be a boundary.
So you don't touch each other?
Do you holy yeah. hugs? No.
It's actually good to define them.
No. Say it. I don't do holy hugs. I hug my girlfriend, innit?
Okay.
I hug everyone unless you give me, unless you want the holy hug.
I don't even know unless, what that is.
The Siamese hug, innit? The side by side. The side by side hug. Nah, I think I'm a bit different to Iffy. Like, I'll call my girlfriend babe. Don't think I'll call her sexy. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But I think the truth...
Right?
Yeah, text her in 5 minutes, see what happens after that. I think it's a case of knowing yourself and how far it might work for you.
Mm.
But also it's about respecting the other person and what they know. Unless they state, you'll never know. And I guess because I haven't... Because I'm a virgin as well or whatever. Actually, forget me being a virgin. Just human beings. I know a friend of mine said her boyfriend then at the time, which is now her husband, would wink at her, she would get weak at the knees. I'm thinking, wink. Ordinary wink. So everyone's boundary could be different.
Yeah.
You know, please don't wink at me. Don't even blink. Don't even have eyes. Close your eyes. Go home. So I think it's different. But yeah, boundaries. Yeah, just keep myself to myself. Praise the Lord Jesus.
You've helped so many people today.
I really appreciate that.
As a single woman, I guess one of my questions, I don't know if you can help me out on this, Esther, but how can I speak, dress, dance,
wow,
that will attract a guy?
Drop it like dance. It's hot.
but within boundaries, how did you feel desirable to your husband, if he, but still
modest,
like a modest
or,
woman. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know. I thought this was Esther's question.
I said, can you back me?
Oh, I know you guys smiled, but now we're going to you.
I mean, whoever wants to take it.
How did I feel? Wow, this is a very tough question. Yeah, I completely agree in terms of the clothing and the need, wanting to feel attractive to the person that you are in a relationship with or the person that you like. How did that happen? I don't know if I took major thought in terms of clothing or dressing, the way I spoke and stuff. I don't think I took major thought to that. I never thought I'd be one of those girls that were thinking about, oh, what should I wear for the date? But I remember when we did have a date, because we had a lot of week meetings, one-to-one, coffee shops discussing. But when we had a proper date, I remember thinking, okay, what am I going to wear? I don't want to be revealing. I don't want to show too much. I don't want him to think. And all of these thoughts were coming to mind. I was like, oh, that's why, you know, in the movie, the girl is always I don't know.
Yeah.
It makes sense now. But I think what kind of guided me was not showing too much that my body is a stumbling block. You're really not looking at my eyes because mm-hmm. your eyes are all the way down here. I just didn't want that. But at the same time, I know that I dress in quite a feminine way. I hardly wear baggy jeans. So that might be a problem for some, but that's not a problem for me. So those are stuff I was thinking about. Being who I am naturally outside of the romantic context, but at the same time not overdoing it.
Mm. It's interesting because it's there's a saying that women use their body to attract men, but when men want it for the body, they complain. Men use money to attract women, but when they want your wealth, you call them gold diggers.
Mm.
It's you used your body as bait, but when you only want your body, or that's the major part or the main part of a relationship, it's an issue.
Yeah.
It's a bit like people come to church or come to God for wealth or to find a spouse. But you don't find that spouse to get your healing. Nah, this God thing doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because God wasn't your God. You didn't come for a conviction of sin and salvation, you came to get an answer, mm-hmm. you know? So when you kind of put it like that, it tends to help. But there are ways to do that, you know? Just look after yourself, hygiene primarily. You can have everything out and look A1, but if you smell...
Yeah, if you haven't brushed your teeth.
You haven't brushed your teeth, or brush the tongue. The tongue is where the aroma comes from.
The aroma.
Brush the tongue. Wow. Brush the tongue. So, you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think there's a way. There's a way, and I know you have to... It's a thing, though. You know, you don't want to leave... You have to leave enough for imagination, mm-hmm. but you don't want to trigger the imagination.
Yeah.
Trying to find that balance.
But then I feel at the same time, a lustful spirit will always find what it wants to find anyway, regardless of how you're dressed anyway.
Look at that ankle. Oh, look at that ankle.
To an extent. I mean, there was a lady, I can't remember her name, but she wrote an article and she was taking the mick a little bit out of the whole respectability politics of how women should dress. And she was saying, well, for me as a woman, when I see a good looking man in a suit who smells good, that for me...
That really
brings out my lustful spirit, but nobody's going to tell the man to not dress in that way.
True.
Do you know what I mean? So I think if you've got an issue with lust anyway, I'm not talking about you just see somebody attractive, but if you've got an issue with lust anyway, regardless of how I'm dressing, low cut or covered from top to bottom, that's going to be an issue for the man anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
So I think that's important to know. And I think each person is different. Faith saying that, you know, for him, if he sees a low-cut outfit, it's not for him. But other guys will be there in a second.
100%.
One guy will see a weave and be there in 2 seconds. Very different.
I think you have to stay true to who you are. You know, I think really investing in the inner person. And that's why, like, First Peter speaks about let your adornment, that means where you put the most effort, be in the inner person, the hidden person of the heart, a gentle and a quiet spirit. So that's where we need to put the most emphasis, because ultimately... even if you look great, but you have nothing, no substance, it's not going to go anywhere. But equally, I guess, you know, if you look terrible, you have all of this substance that might not go anywhere. But it's about making sure you have the character to supplement.
What difference would you say waiting has made to your marriage?
So I think one of the major ways that people mention is that there's no comparison factor. Mm-hmm. All I know is sex with my husband, and so there's a sufficiency within that, and a sacredness within the way we connect in that kind of way that I think, you know, by waiting I've been able to have. I think as well, just when I think about sex, it's such a strong way to show that intimacy. I can't imagine doing that with other people or sharing that with other people. It's like you have something that is so valuable, so prized, that you're just, I can't imagine other people having that or sharing that with other people, rather. So for me, waiting to have sex has made me value the importance of our union, and the fact that this is not something that I can do. I know we're going to talk about masturbation later on, but this is not something that I'm supposed to enjoy outside of you. It's like God has literally put two people and said that for this great treasure, you have to find it in each other. Mm. And that is the beauty of sex in marriage, that it's an act of service and serving one another. And it's like the more you serve, the more pleasure you receive. So it's a beautiful paradox that God has placed within marriage to see that this is how the two of you will maintain that intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think people, because I've sort of picked up on certain things. I know there's a girl from, an actress from, is it Insecure?
Yvonne,
I think her name's Yvonne. She came up and said that, well, I'm a virgin, I'm waiting for marriage. Mm-hmm. And when I saw some of the Twitter responses, people were hostile. Not even like, oh, well, that's just your choice for you. People were like actively hostile. Oh, it's a man controlling your body, this, that, and the other. Look at what religion has done. And I'm just wondering if you've ever observed that people have been almost hostile to your choice to be celibate. Yeah. As though it's a personal attack on the fact that maybe they have been sleeping with people.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, for example, I got a lot of, like, my most recent video with ZZ Mills, mm-hmm. I got, like, quite a few, like, weird comments that, oh, yeah, he's definitely gay. There's no way he cannot have had sex. There's no way he doesn't masturbate. He's lying. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, why does me not having sex mean I'm gay? Mm-hmm. It's like, how did you link the two together? You know, so it's quite weird. And I think deep down, it's a reflection, really, of the person that's making the comments. This isn't a generic statement, but a lot of people I've spoken to that have had sex regret it. Like, a lot of people that have had sex, it's only with one person. You're like, I wish I could take back those 4 minutes. It was a waste of my life.
4 minutes.
I know bare people that, I wish I never did it. I wish I never did. And some of them, the truth is, not so funny, yeah? It's so funny. Everyone in this world that's having sex outside of marriage, whether they believe in God or not, knows they shouldn't be doing it. Do you know how funny that is? Do you know everyone knows that?
Do you think they know?
Yep. Everyone, I genuinely believe.
Why do you think they
everyone
know?
Everyone has that kind of consciousness of, you know what? Really, marriage, sexuality should really be for marriage.
I need to know how you came to the conclusion.
I genuinely believe that. Because a lot of time when people talk about sex, yeah, from when you're young, I don't know what culture some people come from, but the thing is that you're never really encouraged to have sex. You're always kind of taught to kind of save it for marriage or save it for a special moment. But a lot of people know that sex should be within the context of marriage. They might call it consciousness or conviction, but a lot of people cannot enjoy sex truly, truly, truly because now I shouldn't be doing it, or this is a waste of my youth and energy. So wherever you assign it to, a lot of people know, you know what? I really shouldn't be doing this, you know.
I kind of see what he means, only because I think actually, like growing up, you're all like, depending on whether you're religious or not, but you are always taught like, have sex with somebody that you love, somebody that's good. Like even in the films, like it was like, you know, you still watch these teen movies and it's like, I love him so much, so we're gonna have sex.
And a high school prom.
And I guess obviously now it's being really diluted. Let's be honest. Like now it's like, just have sex with who you want. Feminism is just like, do what you want, babes. But at the same time, I do see where you're coming from. I don't know if I wholeheartedly agree, but
I definitely think a lot of people feel that sense of conviction. I don't know if everybody does, but I think even the phrase, you know, make an honest woman out of her, or the ways in which we talk about, you know, we're finally, you know, tying the knot, we're doing things properly. That's how a lot of like people that don't know God talk, you know, so it kind of shows that there's a sense of how things should be done. And, you know, when there's a deviation from that people feel it. But to ask this question, I completely understand that there's a lot of pressure that, oh wait, so you're a virgin, so you must think you're better than me. So you must think you're deserving of this. So you must think, and all of these thoughts that I'm definitely not thinking about anybody. It becomes a straight away, like, you know, you think you're better than me. It's like, no, I don't.
And the question is, where does that come from?
It's an inner conviction.
Which goes back to my original point. Like, you never said or carried your way. Like, where's this notion that not having sex means you're better than another person?
And just to add to that, like, I think even just as a virgin woman, I would always kind of feel a kind of way in how I would share that. Not to make people feel uncomfortable. This is like years ago, I'd feel like, okay, you know, someone would ask me the question and I'll just be finding other ways to answer the question until I had to just be like, if you God, just be honest and just put your truth out there. Actually, no, I'm not having sex until I'm married. And just saying it's such a bold way to say that, actually, because people think that it doesn't exist. People think that that's why you ask the question, like, do you think it's possible? A lot of people think it's impossible because there are people that I know that are waiting till marriage to have sex that our virgins haven't had boyfriends, and they're in their 20s, some in their 30s, that are waiting for this and are saying that, actually, no, I'm going to honour God and honour my body in this kind of way. But because they aren't verbal for fear of offending people, I think that that's where the problem lies. And it's interesting how we are all for women empowerment until it becomes about, oh, okay, but women empowerment has to look like this. It has to look like sexual liberation, but sexual liberation cannot be the choice to say, I want to keep my body to myself and save it for my husband. Why can't that be a part of liberation? I think what we call liberation is so backwards.
So for the person that's listening into this, guy or girl, that's like on the fence and they're like, maybe they have a point, like, what would you say in terms of why you would say to them that, like, bro or sis, wait till you get married?
I think for me, I would definitely take it from the perspective of, you are valuable. Your time is valuable. Your affection is valuable. Your body is valuable. You are a treasure. And I think the more you understand that, the more you are able to come into a realization of, actually, this isn't something that I just share with anyone. You don't just give the most expensive jewel to just anyone. And this is more than just your body. I don't think our bodies are just, you know, super precious, but nothing else. Everything about us, we are made in the image of God, is precious. And so it's meant for for yourself to honor. It's meant for God, the person that created it, to honor him as well. And if God has said that, you know, it's supposed to be for one person, I mean, unless someone dies, you know, till death do you part. You know, if God has said it's for one person, I think it just kind of shows the sacredness of it. I think a lot of people don't understand the sacredness of their body, don't understand the sacredness of their sexuality, of their emotionality, of their affection, their time, all of these things. And because you don't understand it, you take it for granted, and you think you can give it out and give it away cheaply and freely. But what you find yourself doing is that you're not being liberated. You're fracturing your soul. But it, even if you have lost your virginity, you can always regain your virtue. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I always stand by. Just because you've lost that doesn't mean that you've lost everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you can still regain your virtue. And guess what? Virtue weighs more than virginity, because you can have virginity and lack virtue. So,
amen.
That's a phenomenal soundbite.
Yeah, man.
Just click. Wow. Yes.
I wanted to ask, obviously you've been very open about the fact that you have never masturbated in your life.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Grow up, Helena.
Yeah, honestly.
My question is, therefore, is that because you think masturbation is a sin?
I've just never felt desired to masturbate, you know? I wouldn't encourage it. So maybe I would say it's a sin, because it's like you're stimulating the act of sex, you know? Because mm-hmm. I've heard numerous Christians battle it and say it is, it isn't. Some even go, well, to answer your question, ultimately, mm-hmm. I don't masturbate and I wouldn't do it. And that's like my own conviction. So yeah. I guess because I wouldn't do it, then I'll comfortably say I would deem it as a sin.
But what's your conviction based on then? Like, why are you convicted that?
First of all, I've just never wanted to. So it's not like I'm tempted. So forget the Bible. Mm-hmm. Me as a person, I've never wanted to do that.
Okay.
Now I bring the Bible in. I just feel like you're kind of stimulating that act of sex. Mm-hmm. However, medically as a man, you would have a natural discharge anyway, however frequent that might be.
Yeah.
So scientifically, your body gets rid of that anyway.
How? How's it getting rid of that? If you're not,
it's called a wet dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or so nocturnal emissions.
Yeah. I had to Google that the other day.
And what, nocturnal emissions?
I had to Google the correct term, nocturnal emissions. Fam, it's called a wet dream. So okay. Yeah. But the weird thing now, because as I mentioned before, off air, I didn't know that watching pornography was to masturbate to it. I never knew that. Mm-hmm. I then heard that some Christians are saying, if you're married, you can masturbate. And I thought, what if you think about your wife? So that made me think now, okay.
Think about your wife.
Yeah, or okay. Your partner. I then thought, hold on, are you now saying that if I masturbate with no one in mind, that's okay? Because that's what you're kind of saying.
Yeah.
Because if you're saying argument. If you're saying you masturbate with your wife in mind, but you can't masturbate with Beyonce in mind, it's a sin. So you masturbate with no one in mind. But I'll say no, I would not encourage anyone to masturbate.
Yeah.
I would say that for even in marriage, I wouldn't encourage that. I'm not a married man. I don't know circumstances, whatever, but I would never encourage that.
Yeah. I just don't. I don't know if I'm convinced that you can masturbate with nobody in mind. Like, I feel like it's the act in itself is a thought that's going to provoke thoughts. You can't control your thoughts. Like,
actually,
you can control
being
your
a
thoughts.
Man, being me, if I'm to masturbate today, yeah, mm-hmm. I will not have no one in mind. If I was to do it, yeah, it's just for the sensation. Purely with no one in mind. 100%.
Okay. I don't believe you.
Yeah, I've said it, innit?
You said what you said.
I've said it. I said what I said. I said.
Obviously, the Bible does say we can control our thoughts. Yes, we can. But, you know, thoughts come into your mind and then you have to then tell that thought that, like, cancel it, or, like, give a new thought to it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just naturally think that when you are masturbating, thoughts are going to come into your mind. In that moment, are you then going to be like, actually, no, because I want this to be a pure moment of masturbation.
But I think maybe for me as a virgin, of course, I got to speak as a virgin, innit?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had sex before, so I can't fantasize about Beyonce's beautiful face, because I don't. Do you get what I mean? Because I haven't experienced the act of sex, that union between man and woman, without being graphic, yeah, I can't imagine that the sensation I'm feeling is the same as a particular woman's, what a woman's given to me, without being crude.
Maybe it's also because you've had no contact with porn.
Yeah,
but I do.
I have seen porn.
Oh, so you have seen
porn? I have seen porn. I said it on the podcast, at the interview.
You just haven't, you didn't associate porn with masturbation?
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay, so why did you watch porn?
First was the pop-up, and then just watched it. Honestly, educational purposes.
Oh, okay. What were you educating yourself in?
I just watched porn for the boredom.
To see what the guys are talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't mind being honest. I'm a very open person. Yeah. I just watched it.
Okay.
For no honest reason. Just curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
That's hence why I was so shocked.
Yeah.
When people are saying, of course you masturbate to porn. What else do you watch pornography for?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly didn't, honestly to God, didn't know. And the truth is, again, where were you told that? Because I've seen movies where they make jest of it, but I've never ever heard that you're supposed to.
Mm.
Unless anyone's ever been told they're supposed to. I don't know.
I think some people have never been told pornography and just watch pornography and something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard that you're supposed to. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Apparently you're supposed to.
They just come hand in hand. Nowadays, I think people just literally associate, okay, you're masturbating, okay, you're watching porn. Like, literally, I just think they are just sister and brother in that way.
I think dealing with like just women that have addictions in these areas, I've seen like spoken to women that just have a pornography addiction but don't have an addiction to masturbation, don't do it. And I've seen the other way around as well.
Wow.
I know I don't watch anything, but I think that's probably because they kind of built up images within their mind that they're masturbating to. But to the question of is it a sin, I would say it is.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely say it is before marriage, because it's lust driven. And there's no way around it, and the Bible speaks quite vehemently against lust. I think in marriage as well, I think that lust, masturbation can take away from the joy of marriage. I think there's probably like only one scenario that comes to mind where it could work.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I think pleasuring yourself outside of your spouse is taking away what belongs to both of you. I think I mentioned it earlier in that, like, God has literally given you a gift that the two of you need to use together in order to receive the fullness of it, that the two of you need to be vulnerable together in order to receive the fullness of it. So if one spouse is doing their own thing, then the other spouse is doing their own thing, I think it takes away from the intimacy you can enjoy in marriage.
Yeah.
And one reason I would say as a man, and probably as a woman, but for example, as a man, why masturbation is wrong is because it perverts sex itself.
Okay.
In regards to, I'm sure you all know how masturbation as a man works, whatever, the grip of a man's hand, the grip of a man's hand will never be as tight as a woman's vagina.
Yeah.
So if you have been masturbating for 15-10 years and that's how you like it, no woman's body is ever going to be able to compare to that. So you have set your mind forever finding pleasure from that. So when you get to marriage now, that's going to be an issue, because the more aroused the woman is, the more free she is. So just using that as reference, that offsets the whole experience of truly enjoying marriage with your wife. I don't know about the woman's side, but as a man, that would totally mess up the whole feng shui.
Yeah.
Wow. So then what happens once you are actually married? Do you think masturbation is then okay? Because did somebody say something about it's okay if you're masturbating
with your partner in mind?
With your partner in mind.
Or in the same room as your...
I said that, like, honestly, I haven't, like, checked this with anybody, but I feel like in my mind there's only, like, one possible way like that could work. Yes, I guess same room, kind of, like, on each other's orders or something. That's the only thing that kind of comes to mind, because the idea is that sex is supposed to be selfless. And so if I'm here trying to just please myself, then it's like we're supposed to have this feast, but I'm eating it in secret. Like,
yeah.
So unless you tell me to eat it in your presence, then okay, I'm going to eat this, whatever, in your presence.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that comes to mind. But I do think that masturbation, pornography, any kind of like lust, any kind of sin that's lust driven, it does take away what belongs to your spouse.
Okay. If women are known to not orgasm as much as men do, so like, you know, on most occasions guys do, for women it's not that frequent, then if a woman is to masturbate so that she can also reach climax, is that a bad thing?
he can do it then. He can do it for her so she can reach climax. Yeah, I think that, like, that statistic is definitely correct. I think an orgasm for a woman is definitely more difficultly reached than it is for a guy. And I think that that kind of places the onus on, I guess, the husband to make sure he's preparing the ground for that. And, you know, like, he can also kind of, I guess, stimulate the female body in other ways to kind of make sure that happens.
Yeah. Encourage the man then to do that.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think we should close this program now.
Wow. Have we got it all out there? Are we sure?
I think so. The only thing that I'm really curious about is the fact that Faith said that he's never had any desire to masturbate, watch porn, or have sex.
Are you human?
No, I have. I know. I have watched porn. I don't watch porn. I have thought porn. The tense is so important. Present, a present continuous, and past. Yeah, but yeah, I've never. Maybe I'm just an anomaly, and I'm sure there's probably like a minute select of men who can probably relate or agree with me, but maybe I don't struggle with lust. I don't know what it derives from, but I don't need to masturbate. Like, what am I trying to achieve? What am I trying to substitute or counter? Do you know what I mean? I don't have that in my mind. Maybe if I had that, then it would be an issue for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my brain hasn't gone there. And this relates to the prayer I always make mention in interviews. When I was in year 8, I said, God, take away every sexual desire from me till I need to be married. And till today, it was still working. Mm-hmm. I was 12 in year 8, so that's 12 going on 13, mm-hmm. I believe. So...
Is that you don't have... So, obviously, I think the desire to masturbate, the desire to watch pornography are perverted kind of desires that we have been given from society. Yeah. But in terms of sexual desire, in terms of a broader sense, which is actually from God, is part of our biology, would you say you don't have sexual desire, full stop? The desire to masturbate, pornography to the side as a worldlier kind of outlet.
Yeah.
Sexual desire, which is healthy, which is godly, would you say you don't have that?
So, as in sex, as in desire to have sex one day,
or just day to day struggles, like when you're with your girlfriend, are there any struggles? Like, I wish if I could sleep with you,
or I look forward to,
I do look forward to, but it's not like I'm not sexually frustrated. That's the correct term.
Okay.
I'm not, have no sexual frustration. Mm-hmm. I don't wish I could have sex with her. I think again, I'm 29. I've never experienced it, therefore I don't miss it. If you've never drank Coke, you cannot miss Coke because you've never had it.
I never drank no Coke.
But
everyone's different. You know, my girlfriend's beautiful. I want to have sex with her one day, but it's not like, oh, I wish we could have sex right now. Mm. Like, I've never, ever...
That you're saying that you don't want Jesus Christ to come before you get that opportunity, perhaps what it is that you're saying, you can obviously edit me, is that you're saying that you do have sexual desire, but it's not at a height or a level where it's uncontrollable, unbearable. You feel like you have to find outlets for it. However, in marriage, you feel like that would be a more safer place to explore that side of you and be more sexually open, because obviously you'd have the...
That, I think that will sound right. I think even like making reference to the whole wedding rapture honeymoon thing, it's like it'd just be good to experience it one day and see what the hoo-ha is about. Like, I genuinely like
convinced. We're going back.
I'm being dead serious. I can kiss women till kingdom come and I'll be satisfied if I die. I'm being dead serious.
I'm being dead serious.
If I die today, without having sex, or if I'm on a deathbed and the doctor says you got 20 days to live.
This is being recorded.
I'm not, recorded. No, God is hearing me. I'm not going to lie.
10 years time, I want this same room.
But the thing is, once I've had sex, then I know how great it is. That's the thing. I know how great it is. I'm not... Also, again, my girlfriend doesn't sell sex to me as well. So she helps. If she's ever selling sex to me, feeling me up, saying, going across boundaries and saying stuff like, oh my God, wait, I want to do this to you, whatever, then that's totally different again. I have had advances, but it's like, you're saying to me, it's like, you're trying to sell me to be a vegan or trying to sell meat or trying to sell pork to Caribbeans who normally typically don't eat pork. Like, ah, this hot dog is sick. Oh, no, no, no. Blah, blah, blah. This hot leg is grazing. You're going to love this hot dog. They don't eat pork. It's like, you can put this pork in my face. I can smell, I can even cook the pork for you.
But they might be tempted to eat the pork, though.
There might be, and some are. But I'm saying there might be. But I'm telling you today, mm-hmm. I could have a naked person in front of me today, the most beautiful woman who it will be, and I would not want to have sex with her.
But maybe it actually does go back to our point of like intimacy being able to be fulfilled in other ways, and maybe you do feel actually content in the level of intimacy that you have in other ways. Because even if you think of like scripture, like in Psalms, when David like talks about intimacy with God, like he says things in like Psalm 63, he's like, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I search you, like my whole soul thirsts for you, like my whole body like longs for you, like in this dry and parched land kind of thing. And that almost, it sounds sexual, like there is something about it that's like wanting that true intimacy with somebody, a fullness of self. And maybe it is that your relationship with God is so satisfying that to some extent you don't even really need to explore that part of yourself. And I'm glad
this has nothing to do with God, because that sounds really bad. Like, God satisfies every need. God satisfies every need. But I'm really like the happiest guy in the world. Like, I have no sexual frustration realistically. Like, I'm really not. I really don't like. For me, as again, like, I've always wanted, sex has always been for marriage, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've always, from young, wanted to have sex with my wife. So my mindset of sex has always been in marriage, not a case of it's what you do, it's science, it's biology, although it is. Mm-hmm. So the waiting game is not really the waiting game. It's like, I only eat as well for sustenance. I don't eat food because I want to eat food. Mm-hmm. I only eat because I have to eat food. So I guess once I experience sex, then maybe what everyone is saying when I be activated, but that part of me is dormant.
Yeah,
of course I want to have sex with my wife or my girlfriend when she's my wife, but there's no burning lust. Mm-hmm. There's no burning desire to want to have sex with my girlfriend.
Yeah. I think that makes sense, even in light of the scriptures that you shared, because I know for me, when I was a single lady, so I definitely struggled with lust at different points. But for the majority of it, there was definitely a contentment that I had in the intimacy that I had with my community, with my friends, my girlfriends, and in the intimacy that I had with God, and I still have with God. So there was definitely that enabled me to not just be like, oh, I really want a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I just want this, I just want that. Because I felt like there was a lot of me that was being shown to God, a lot of me that was being shown to the sisters that I had in my life as well. So I think that also kind of adds to what you're saying about intimacy, because we all want to be fully known and fully loved, and we have that in God, and we can have that with people.
Amen. Faith, hit us with the conclusion.
The conclusion is, if he loves the Lord,
yes, he does.
Everyone should love God and love people.
Amen.
Look after your body, respect your body, and ultimately, even if you have lost your virginity, you can still gain your virtue.
Yes!
Yes!
Come on.
Preach, preacher.
So we always end in scripture. And I thought that it would be good to share a scripture on like God's intimacy, and then one also on sex. So in terms of God's intimacy, Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." In case you're on the fence about what the Bible has to say about sex, it says, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" 1 Corinthians 6:18. Iffy, what can we look forward to on your platform?
Okay, so I didn't prepare for this. So Love Limitless, the ministry that I lead, we have our university tour coming up next year, so we're quite excited for that. We go around to different university campuses between February and March every year, and our theme this year is purpose, calling and ministry, which is something that I just wish I knew more about when I was at university. Mm-hmm. Understanding that your vocation doesn't necessarily have to be your calling and the entirety of it, that you don't have to leave your work to go do ministry, that like it's all intertwined. So that's what we're going to be speaking about. And for anyone that goes to university or leads a society, they can definitely get in contact with us. lovelimitless.com/UKUT, which is the UK University Tour. So that's what we're up to.
Thank you for coming to chat with us today.
My pleasure. This was so much fun.
Yay!
A bit of pressure at times.
Definitely. Pressure makes diamonds, so it's good. Okay. You shining now, you shining.
Well, guys, send us an email. We're at MTM Podcast. What am I saying? At MTM. I'm just speaking.
Oh, right.
We're MTM Podcast at premier.org.uk. Let us know what you thought of this episode. Follow us at Premier Gospel for updates as well. The hashtag is MTM Podcast. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this discussion. We thank you so much for the beauty of intimacy with you, Lord Jesus. May that be our ultimate goal, to be intimate with you. May we remember, Lord Jesus, that we were bought at a price, and just really just hold sex to what you have created it to be. Thank you for conversations where we don't know all the answers, but we have one another to help navigate these things. Continue to give us understanding of this area of our life. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is Meet the Millennials.
Hi, guys. You're here with Cassie Loco.
Carl Loco.
Hi, I'm Rini.
Hey, I'm Pastor Nathan from Hope Dealers.
And it's Pastor Kwame here from Hope Dealers as well.
Hi, I'm Ify Alexis Lee.
Hi, I'm Muyua.
And I'm Lola.
And you're listening to Meet the Millennials, the voice of the Christian Millennials.
Because it's honest conversations about things that the body of Christ is perhaps too scared to talk about.
And you young people don't know what you're doing with your life.